verses 13 through 15, found on page 21 of your pew Bible. Listen to the word of the Lord. Jesus blesses the little children. Then the little children were being brought to him in order that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples spoke sternly to them, to those who brought them, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." And he laid his hands on them and went on his way. This is the word of the Lord.
Peter Newberry is a Catholic priest, is at the Silesian Order. For 40 years, he's been in Hong Kong doing youth work. In fact, he is probably the expert on youth work in Hong Kong. His book on youth work in Hong Kong is in its second edition. He has a PhD. And Peter, you're going to be preaching to a lot of business people, but I want to tell business people, I have met few pastors or priests who have the entrepreneurial and managerial skills that this man has. And he has developed an organization that Community Care and Union Church have been supporting for many years. And it is a privilege and a joy to welcome Dr. Peter Newberry to our pulpit this morning.
I'm told I can stand here. Listening to Pastor Greg introduce me reminds me of an old joke of a pillar, you know, a guy died, so they, you know, the wake, he laid him out in church, and all the friends and family were there, and the pastor stands up in front of the church and starts saying, "Oh, this is Mr. Chan here, was a pillar of the church, a wonderful guy," and his widow sitting at the front, she gets up, walks out, and looks in the coffin, and everybody says, "Oh, she's brokenhearted," so she sits down again. And then the guy goes on, he says, "Oh, really, wonderful community, man, you know, gave everything back to society." So she gets up again and has another look in the coffin and sits down again. And everybody says, "Oh, she must be brokenhearted." And then he goes on and says, "A wonderful father, terrific family man." She gets up and has another look in it. So eventually somebody says, "Well, what's going on?" She says, "Well, I was listening to this guy talk. I just wanted to make sure it was my husband in there." So when people praise you, it's kind of like that, you know. Well, my name is Peter Newberry. I have been involved in youth work in Hong Kong for over 40 years, various ways. But for the last 18 years or so, I've been working with an agency called Youth Outreach. We founded Youth Outreach in the early 90s to respond to the increasing number of young people who were hanging around on the streets at night. Believe it or not, in the early 90s, we estimated that about 30,000 young people each year in Hong Kong wouldn't go home at night. They hang around on the streets before they go back to school in the morning. That was when we first began. The last time we did a rough survey, was the beginning of this decade, about 10, 12 years later. The number had increased to 70,000. We estimate every year there's about 70,000 kids on the streets at night. And everybody says, "Well, teenagers, you know, geez." So the unfortunate thing is, you know, teenagers, we normally think 15, 16, 17, 18, no. The average age of the kids on the streets is 12 and a half. When we go out at night looking for them, we are increasingly meeting 10, 11-year-olds. And the youngest kid we ever met on the street at night, two nights running, was in Bat Tin in Mong Gok, and he was 6. We go out at midnight looking for these kids on the streets, and our goal is to get them off the street quickly. It's not nice living on the street. We tend to think of going out late, you know, having a good time, going out for a few drinks, party, dinner, then go home, whatever. But that's only once. When you're living on the street with no money, no change of clothes, nowhere to go, nothing to do, it rapidly becomes unfun. But these kids prefer that to going home. So what does that tell us? These kids, they may be runaways, but they're not tearaways, they're not hooligans, they're not juvenile delinquents. We run Hong Kong's very first 24-hour hotline for these kids. One night, a 9-year-old boy phoned us up, and he wanted to chat. So I said, "You want to chat? Come on up." You know, so he came up to our center, and it turns out that he has an elder brother, 19, who's already moved out. His father is in South America on business. Not bad, huh? I said, "Well, who looks after you at home?" Fully expecting the answer, the Filipino maid, you know. No. The guy, he says, at home he has, in Chinese they say, asok, which in English means uncle. And in Chinese, it means about the same as it means in English, which is absolutely nothing. And so his mother, when she eventually phoned us, phoned from the factory she owns across the border in Samtan. Right? Uncle? Read mother's boyfriend. Right? So can we blame this 9-year-old boy? Because he feels more comfortable on the streets with his friends. People who are really concerned and interested in him, rather than at home with mother's boyfriend. We picked up kids like this. This is kind of a rich but messed up family. We got a hotline. We got a call from a mother who said, is that youth outreach? I said, yeah, this is youth outreach. Do you do runaways? Yeah, we do runaways, So can you find my daughter? And I thought, oh, geez. Hold on, God. So she came over and gave us a little photograph, one of these school photographs. And she said her daughter had been to school in primary six, grade six, but about 3 or 4 days earlier, hadn't come home from school. So the next day when she went to school, she found from the other kids in the class that her daughter had left school with another classmate, another little girl, and neither of them had been back to school since. So we said, okay, we'll do our best. That night we happened to have two teams going out, and about midnight one of our teams arrived at Newtown Plaza in Sartine. I don't know if you know Newtown Plaza at all. You go through the front door there, it's a wide staircase, right? But this is midnight, it's still open, so we go in, the place is dark. So we go in, and they're sitting in the middle of this staircase are two girls in school uniform. And we thought, no, can't be that easy. So we went over, sit down, start talking, it's those two girls. So we chatted for a while, getting ready to break the news, and we said, your mum called. Oh, wrong thing to say. They stood up and took off like rockets. So we thought we'd lost them. Now, Newtown Plaza, you go around it during the daytime, it's tough to find your way around. So you try it at night, I'm telling you. Nooks and crannies, corridors, alleyways. So we went around. We spent the next 2 or 3 hours wandering around the place. Then went outside around the parking lot, past the rubbish drop-off point. We got back to where we parked our van. Our van is white, one of these seven-seater things. And it says Youth Outreach on the side. So we get back to our van, and there's these two girls sitting on the side of the road next to our van. And we said, ha! Well, yeah. Messing us up. So they said, well, it's cold, and you said you had somewhere to go and some food. So we thought, we're okay, they were just okay. So we took them back to our center. And they told us that the first night they'd run away from home, they'd stayed at the home of a classmate, and they'd stolen $5,000 from the house, the apartment, and they'd hit the streets. They'd been living off that $5,000 since. But they'd used $2,000 something to buy a little dog in a basket. Oh, beautiful little thing. Even I thought it was cute. So mother comes over and we begin to get the picture. Mother is a single parent, right? She has a total of 4 children. This is the youngest, a girl. The other 3 are boys. And she said this little girl has a history of running away. This was the 3rd time she'd run away from home. And every time she came back with a pet. First time was a rabbit. 2nd time was a gerbil. This time was a dog. Well, I don't think you need a PhD in psychology to know what this little girl wants. She just wants somebody to hold. Right? Somebody to feel warm. Right? Just wants somebody to love her, that's all. Another night, in the 24-hour McDonald's in Mong Ngoc, we came across a 7-year-old boy. He'd been there 2 nights. School uniform. So we eventually persuaded him to come back with us. And we phoned his mother. His mother came over like a rocket. And we found out his mother, nice car, his mother would get him up at 6:30 in the morning, get dressed, washed, breakfast, and she'd take him to school by car. And he was in the morning session of the school, the primary school, right? What, primary 2? Something like that. So he would then stay in, she'd go off to work. He'd stay in school until 1 o'clock. Then his mother had arranged for him to go to a tutorial center where the Gogo and the Jeje, the staff there would help him with his homework, revise his schoolwork and all the rest of it, give him something to eat. Until 6 o'clock in the evening when mother came back from work, picked him up, took him home, had a shower, evening meal, and then she helped him with his homework until 9 o'clock when he went to bed. Now, all the Chinese mothers I've told this story to, they all say, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. I work 8 hours a day, I'm tired. This kid, from the moment he opens his eyes in the morning, he's working until he goes to bed at night. I said, if it was me, I'd run away. Right? But the mother it's a good heart, you know? She's not abusing the kid, she just wants him to do well. But you see what happens? The kids want understanding, they want support. We don't only kind of get involved with just local kids or just messed up kids like that. We recently got a case, Tony. Tony's mother is a Filipina. She came to Hong Kong as a Filipina maid. She got to know Tony's father, who is a local Hong Kong Chinese guy. So she got pregnant, and because she got pregnant, she got fired. So she goes to live with Tony's father. Fine. Tony is now 12, all right, now. So she's very quiet, very good mother, living at home, looking after her boy. Very good. The boy loves his mother, loves his father, and they are a great family. Were a great family. So now Tony's 12, and mother decides that, well, perhaps she should try and regularize her legal status, because Tony should go to school. He has never been to school, because he's illegal. So she goes to the immigration department. What happens? She's deported. She is now in the Philippines. Tony's father is now in prison, harboring illegal aliens. Tony is with us. Happy Christmas? I doubt. What we're trying to do at Youth Outreach is get out on the streets at night and find these young people before the triads, the pimps, and the drug pushers get to them. There's a myth in Hong Kong that kids are being forced to join the triads. It's a myth. They're queuing up to join because everybody needs to belong somewhere. Now, if we can get there first, we can get them back into our place, get them back home, we can follow them up at home for 6 months or so. They will be okay. They are growing up, but at this critical point of their time, they need our help and our support. Otherwise, 70,000 will become 140,000. Believe me, it's not getting better. The families are falling apart. What you can do is very simple. At Youth Outreach, yes, if you like, we're at the sharp end. We're right there on the streets. But we can't do this on our own. We need backup. We need people behind us. We share our faith. Now, because we share our faith, we know the most powerful thing that you can do for us is pray. Every day, say a prayer for these kids. That is the most powerful thing you can do. If you can do something else, help out, make a donation, give us some equipment, whatever, that's fine, that's wonderful. But please remember to pray. An old priest once said to me, he said, you know, Peter, our life of faith should be like a window. And I thought, okay, what do you mean? You know, when you're young, you like that. So he said, well, a window lets the warmth and the light of the sun into the house. So the house becomes bright and warm and a pleasant place to live. He says, we are the window of God's love. It's only through us that God's love can shine on the people around us and give them the warmth and the heat and the light that will help them to grow. But don't forget, if we are to be windows, we need to keep the windows clean. Right? If the windows are not clean, you're not going to let very much light through, right? Now, for these young people on the streets at night, who are struggling to grow up in very difficult circumstances, they are not hooligans, they are not juvenile delinquents, they are not tearaways, they are just young people struggling to grow up. They need the warmth and the love of God. And it's only we, through us, that warmth and love will get to them. Please remember them every day and pray for them. May God bless you all.